cannot express the goodness of God in my life. I don't think any of us can. The fullness of Him and all that He is to us. Preachers go years trying to express what the Bible has revealed to us about God's Son. Amen. This book is all about Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, that's what it is. If you want to say this is his biography, amen. This is him. This is the word, the written word, and we had the word incarnate, Christ. He was the word incarnate, and this is the written word. I mean, this is him. This is his words. Amen. I bless him. In John chapter number 3 this evening, John chapter number 3, I want us just to look at something. It's simple, but I feel like the Lord would have me to try to help us to see a little bit more into what the Lord reveals to us about this certain thing we'll be dealing with this evening. Jesus has been speaking to a man, or rather the man too has been speaking to Jesus. Jesus has been telling him about how to be born again. He's been explaining to him how a man can be born again. And he doesn't understand at this point. Nicodemus does not understand how a man can be born again. He's looking at the earthly. That's all, somebody that's unsaved, listen, the carnal mind cannot comprehend the things of God. It can't. And when Jesus said you must be born again, he's thinking of the only birth that he can comprehend, his birth from his mother. And how could you do that all over again? Now, that's not what Jesus was talking about. He's not talking about us entering into our mother's womb a second time and being born. He's talking about being born of the Spirit, being born of the Word, being born from above. It's a spiritual birth. And as much as you and I were born into this world, it happened. There was a day and a time every one of you that's here came forth from your mother's womb and was born. And I mean, that's a fact. Right. You're sitting here. Even so, the spiritual birth is a birth that takes place in the spiritual realm, in our spirit, in our soul. And it we are new babes in Christ, born of the Spirit. I mean, life has come into us, a life that, just like when we were babies, took that first breath. Well, we took our first spiritual breath in Christ. Amen. And we were brought into the light. Brought into the light. Brought out of darkness.
But Jesus is this great scripture that we read. Most people know it by heart. In verse 12, Jesus said, "If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Now he's fixing to bring in the greatest revelation, that one of the greatest revelations that man could ever comprehend. Verse 16, he says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because his deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." There are some things that happen when we come into the light. I want to talk about three lights in John 3. Three lights in John 3. The first light is the light of God's love. Look what he said. "For God so loved the world." Amen. For God so loved the world. The Hindis or Indians or the Chinese, they won't say that. They won't let you say that God loves. And the reason it is because they have, it brings the need to argue that man has a need. And they don't want to feel needy. Are you listening to me? That man is in need. That's why the cross offends man. It shows him he is needy. Needful of God. And there are those that want man to believe that God is angry. Always. Now the Bible does say God is angry with the wicked every day. He's angry at the sin, the acts of sin, the wickedness therein, but you'll never get away of the second rail. God loves the world. Amen. That revelation that God so loved the world, Jesus tells us that plainly. You can't make anything else out of that. For God so loved the world. Amen. You can try to say that God only loves a few. It doesn't say that. No. God only loves a certain amount. It doesn't say that. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God didn't love half the world that he gave his son for. There are those that would say that Christ only died for a certain ones. And the other ones, he did not die. No, no, no. God loved the world, and because God loved the world, God gave his son. God so loved the world. Now listen, if I'd have said that, just me out of the blue, trying to tell somebody, God loves the world. I mean, that's a great statement. If Paul or John writes it down, I mean, here's an apostle saying it. But listen, this is from the very lips of Christ himself. As one writer said, for him to say that has a thousandfold more meaning. For our Lord to say, for God so loved the world. Right. I mean, that wasn't just a normal guy trying to get that point across. Amen. That was he himself saying how much he loved the world. I mean, think about that. Think about that. I mean, that he is attesting to his own love, expressing his own love and saying, I love the world. I so love the world. I'll never forget my granddaddy. He said, it's not just love. He said, it's so love. For God so loved. There's a difference in loving and so loving. Amen. I mean, that especially it coming from the very lips of the Heavenly Father. Amen. God loves the world. Amen. The unregenerate world. Not a good world. A lost world. A sinful world. Amen. Like a mom, loves her wayward child just as much as she does her worthy child. She loves her hateful child as much as she loves the child with high marks. She loves that bent child as much as she does the blessed child. Amen. She loves that wrong child as much as she does the one that's right. Now listen, even though that love may give her a broken heart, it's still her love. Are you listening to me? Amen. It could bring grief, but listen, God Almighty loves the sinner. Amen. The rebellious, the ungodly. Think about that. That's what I was preaching about this morning. When we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Amen. His love. God loves the world. Listen, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, listen, he has a distributive love. It goes to all the whosoevers, amen? All the whosoevers. Whosoever. Whosoever. God so loved the world that whosoever. John, that means you can put your name right there. And I don't care, you can go into the deepest gutter and find the muddiest sinner. You can put his name there. Amen. You can find the most vile female. Are you listening to me? You can put her name there. Wherever and whosoever that you find, God so loves them. That's the revelation. That's light, friend. God wants the world to know in the darkness of the jungles, God's light will shine, that He loves them. Amen. And He wants to bring them out of darkness into His marvelous light. In the far reaches of communist China, God reaches to the whosoever's. Whosoever will. Any one of them. In North Korea. Are you listening? The worst of the worst. It doesn't matter where they are. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Amen. God loves with a deep affection. Amen. It's a self-sacrificing. He gave. He gave His only begotten Son. It reveals the heart of God. Look at it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him. I mean, it's giving us the very revelation of God's heart, that He so loves the world. His habit of sacrifice, if you want to say it that way. It's not habit, it's who He is. He is a God of sacrifice, a God of covenant. Amen. God so loved that He gave. God so loved that He gave His compassion for every soul. Again, the whosoever, the world. I don't know how they could get anything else out of those two words. The world and whosoever. I don't know how you could narrow the scope down. Amen, to just a certain elect. Are you hearing me? God so loved the world. He used the world. Amen, that whosoever in the whole world, God loves them all. Gave His only begotten Son. His desire to save all. Listen, the Bible makes it very clear. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. Right here in John 3, it reveals His desire to save all. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Why did He give His only begotten Son? That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God said, I gave a sacrifice enough to save all. Amen. Amen. Back over there in Exodus, and when they were coming out of Egypt, every man had a lamb for a house. And if a lamb be too big for the house, he could share his lamb with the house next to him. Am I right about that? Right. But I want to tell you something. That's about as far as it went. That little lamb went. Amen. One lamb didn't get all of them. Wasn't enough blood to go to every Hebrew door. Are you hearing me? Wasn't enough meat to feed that 12 tribes of Israel on that night. Amen? Not out of one lamb. But God on the cross, are you listening to me? His Son, the Lamb of God, was enough for the whole world. Whosoever the whole world. God reveals that to us. Amen. That's the light of God's love. The light upon Christ is the second light. What a light Christ has been. Generations have never been able to forget him.
Amen.
Man has never given him a small name. You know why? Because God gave him a name that's above every name. God had given him a name that's above every name. That at the name of Jesus, amen, there's something about that name. Something about that name. Now I'll tell you what, this is just me. It's just me. And I know in some of these countries they may not be, you know, maybe they're not thinking, but I know in Israel and also in Mexico, because of the way their language is, there are people that are named, you know, Jesus or Jesus. It's spelled the same way. I'll tell you what, I reverence that name so much. I couldn't name my kid Jesus. Are you? I mean, for it to look the same. Amen? I want my children to be like the Son of God, but that's his name. Amen? That's just the way I feel about it. Amen? God give him a name that's above every name. That at the name of Jesus. Amen? I mean, listen, foes have underestimated his greatness. Are you listening to me? The question has been from generation to generation, who is this man? That's what they wanted to know. Who is he? Amen? I mean, think about it. Friends, those that love him have tried to express who he is over the years and have not been able to do it. Amen? I'm telling me, I don't know how many times I've had to stop and say, I don't have the words to express who he is and how good he is, how much he loves. Amen? What a great sacrifice. Oh, yeah, they ask him, who are you? Answer for yourself. He's the only begotten Son of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. His only begotten Son. He is the only begotten Son. He has the nature of the Father. Amen. He is in the flesh, divine, like no other being ever was or ever shall be. I know some of them over there in the East, Far East, they like to think that they've got divine people. No, they've never run into a divine person like him. Amen. He is supremely divine. The only begotten Son of God. Amen. God in the flesh, Emmanuel. Amen. God has prepared him a body. That's what it said. Amen. His life matches his name. Amen. The Bible says, in him is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Amen. That's right. He is divine in everything that he is. The Son of God. God the Son. That's what we call him. God the Son. The Son of God is God the Son. You have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Amen. One God. There is one God and one mediator between God and man. The man, the divine man, the God man, Christ Jesus. Amen. The only begotten Son of God. He's the gift of God. Amen. The gift of God. God has given him to every soul of man that would receive him. He is your gift. He is given to you. Think about that. You have him. He has you. Amen. The Bible says, there's a writer that wrote this. I had it put down. There is no tie which has knit him to our hearts, but what he was the one that knit it. Are you listening to me? It's like these ladies, you know, quilting and knitting and stuff. Listen, and they do all of it. You look at what they have and you know that there's not a knit there that they didn't knit. Well, that's what he was talking about. There's no tie, amen, from him to us that he didn't knit. Amen. He reached out to me and to you. Ain't that great? Ain't that right? Amen. He succored us. He saved us. He came to us. He loved us. He first loved us. That's what the Bible said. He first loved us. Amen. That's good. Thank God that he first loved us. Bless the Lord. He takes upon himself, you know, the nature of man and the temptations and sorrows and death even. But God gave him as a gift for him. See, we have not an high priest. We have been given a gift, a high priest that is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He knows how we feel. I mean, when he stood there at the tomb of Lazarus, the Bible said Jesus wept. He felt for them. He cried over them. He has sympathy for us. You understand that God gave him to us that way. A Savior with sympathy that feels all you feel, that understands how you feel, that knows how you hurt. What a gift. I mean, what a friend to have that never understands you and never would know how to comfort you or what you're going through. They just stand there and look at you because they don't know. Well, that's not this friend. Amen? He has given to you and I, the gift of God to us. The sympathizer, the one that feels you and knows you. He is ours. Amen. And it's so that all he has and is, what he is in his life, the atonements of his death is ours. See, everything that we have is his. And everything he has is ours. He who knew no sin became sin. Now, he didn't sin, but our sins were placed upon him. Why? So that his righteousness could be placed upon us. What a gift. What a gift that God says, I'm going to take all the bad, all of the fall, all of the sin, your ungodliness, your unrighteousness, I'm going to place it on him. Amen. And he'll die because of it. But all that he is, God's only begotten Son, God in the flesh, the righteous God. His righteousness, he said, is put upon us. Listen, we have that position right now, but we're not going to experience that here. But when we get the new body, we get to heaven. You talk about feeling more like Him. And being more like Him.
Amen.
I'm not saying He's making us little gods. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying His righteousness.
Right.
His sinfulness. But it's going to be good not to have a sin nature.
Right.
Amen.
I just put it that blunt. It's going to be real good not to have a sin nature.
Amen.
Not to be this old broken down sinner anymore. What a gift. What light. Amen. The Savior. Only Christ has been given this name. Savior. Amen. Jesus is Savior. There's been other men maybe tried to. Listen, but Muhammad, they call him the prophet. Buddha, they call him the teacher. Well, Jesus has been called those things, but he's been called something that they've never been called. Savior.
Amen.
Savior. And he's done something they've never done. Rose again.
That's right.
Amen. Rose again. The third one is the light on man. God loves each man. Each one.
Amen.
Think about that. Each man is lovable. Because God loves him. Amen. There is no life without the possibility of glory in it, which causes God's love to abound in you and I. God said He had given every one of us a measure of faith, didn't He?
Yeah.
We're capable of believing,
yep.
Having faith.
Yep.
And so there's that in man which causes us to look up to God.
Yes.
Amen? Instead of staying so low. Staying in a low place. Because God loves us and approaches us, so loves us first, it allows you and I to lift up our heads in faith to Him. That's His grace interacting in our life. God gives us a measure of faith. See, I didn't have it till He gave it to me. You didn't have it till He gave it to us. But He gives it to every man. That faith that causes him to look up and know there's a God in heaven that he needs. That's enough faith to save you. To see that we have need of Him. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, there's the faith. That's all you and I have to do. Believe in His Son. Believe in God's love. That's the light that God shines on man. He brings us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Amen? He puts us under His power, under His guidance by His Holy Spirit. I remember thinking as a sinner, how am I going to know when God speaks to my heart? Is it going to be like my conscience? You know, is that the way it's going to come to me? How am I going to know? I wrestled that. How am I going to know God is speaking to me? Well, when He spoke, there was no doubt. And listen, I'm not just saying that. I mean that. I had never had nothing like that happen to me. It wasn't audible. Man, you talk about speaking to my heart, taking over my mind, bringing me into captivity. Are you listening? I was captivated by what was happening inside of me. My heart was beating out of my chest. I was under great conviction, and I knew exactly that it was God Almighty telling me I needed to be saved. There was no doubt. That cleared up that question fast. Now I know some people's experience may not have been that strong. That conviction that we... Listen, somehow God convinced you. You were convinced of God.
Amen.
Whether your heart beat as hard as mine or what, that doesn't matter. You were convinced of God that you needed to look to Him.
Amen.
That you needed to pray to Him. You were convinced.
Right.
There wasn't no doubt in your mind. You was convinced in your heart that you needed salvation.
Right.
What light that God gives man. God gives us everlasting life. Most people, their philosophy takes them only to the graveyard. I heard somebody just the other day was talking about being a scientist and how that they just, you know, when this life comes to an end, this body goes to the grave and that's it. We've lived our life. That's it. That man's got to be miserable. I mean, that ain't no hope. That ain't no hope. How can a man have any peace or hope thinking, when I die, that's it? But it's more than just that. Listen, he's left out. He don't know. There's hell waiting beneath that. Heaven above it. Hell beneath it.
Amen.
Amen. There's an eternal soul that you and I have that's going to live on. It'll either live eternally or die eternally. But it will be aware there are people that think, you know, when they die and leave this world, their spirit goes to heaven, but you're not aware. I don't understand that. I don't understand that at all. I mean, How could part of me be up there loving the Lord and Him loving me and seeing loved ones that's gone on and not even be aware that all that's happening? I'll tell you what it is. These people still, they've got their mind and heart in that body in the grave.
Right.
They really don't believe that. They can't get out of the grave.
Right.
Listen, this hope that God gives us, it goes beyond the grave.
Right.
Goes way beyond the grave.
Hey.
He gives us everlasting life. The light that God loves us, that God gives us faith, that God gives us everlasting life.
Amen.
If we push away the Lord of life, then our destiny is the tomb. That's it, the grave. But Christ came. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world. Which means Christ came into the world not to condemn the world, but Christ came into the world that the world through Him might be saved. That's why He came. That's the light of Christ upon man. That Christ came into this world, one reason, to save
Amen. That
which is lost.
Amen.
Amen. Bless His name. Bless His name. There's so much more in this. I love God's Word. I love the Lord. Don't you? Amen. Verse 21, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. The light shows you and I if we're headed with God.
Amen.
All right, praise the Lord. Let's all stand together.